Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
You're listening to Money FM 89.3, and a lot of hubbub made about the Chinese bond markets. We talked about it earlier on with regards to our interview with Pinebridge Investments and their view on Chinese bonds. But we do want to parse through some of the potential risks from these growing and worrisome defaults by some of China's largest firms like Huarong and Evergrande. And we also want to know what is worth looking out for over the second half. Well, today on Money FM 89.3, I'm pleased to be joined by Ms. Serena Ng, who is the Asia Finance Editor for Wall Street Journal. And they've been tracking Chinese bond markets closely, actually, over the last couple of months. Serena, thank you so much for joining us. Glad to hear you and your loved ones are safe and in good health during these uncertain times. And welcome to the show. Good evening.
Thanks for having me.
All right. So, Serena, you know, the Chinese bond markets have been very interesting because a lot of people we've talked to have actually been rather bullish on Chinese markets, at least the investment managers that I've spoken to, and they still think it's the place to be. But we, you know, we can't discount these big default risks. I think in one month it was Huarong that was facing a lot of these issues. Evergrande continues to cast a dark cloud on sentiment. Now, could we see an even bigger fallout for China if more firms face bond pressures? What are you guys seeing based on your coverage out there?
Yeah, so you know, one thing we've noticed recently was that yields on, you know, U.S. dollar junk bonds issued by Chinese companies, you know, these are bonds that have below investment grade credit ratings. You know, their yields have recently topped 10%, and that's like the highest level in more than a year. You know, in general, like higher bond yields mean that investors, they want to be paid more to compensate for the risk of holding the bonds. So, you know, the higher the bond yields are, it means that people just generally see higher default risk. And then I think interestingly, if you compare it to the U.S., like, you know, I think all globally, like most junk bonds on average yield like 5% or less, which basically means that investors see a lot higher risk in Chinese bonds. And, you know, you mentioned Evergrande and Huarong, you know, their bonds have sold off pretty sharply. You know, neither company's actually defaulted. You know, most they've been paying off their debts as they come due. But I think there are lots of worries that, you know, that may not last forever, and their expectations that they could be running short of cash and may have to restructure their debt, which could, you know, cause losses to investors.
Mm-hmm. You know, this is a big space. I believe the bond market in China now, the second largest in the world and easily in the trillions of dollars now. And, you know, Huarong and Evergrande are some of the more notable examples here. But could we even see a bigger fallout for China if we see any more possible default risks emerge, or we start to see more companies start to find it more difficult to pay some of their bonds, whether it be domestic or offshore?
Yeah, so, you know, defaults have been on the rise in China. I mean, you know, there were some, you know, troubles last year, obviously, with the economy and the pandemic. And I think the official tally is that there were about a dozen defaults. This is based on Fitch Ratings data, mm-hmm. and something like $7 billion in bonds, you know, defaulted. And, you know, but I think by and large, defaults in China have been somewhat sporadic, you know, like, and investors for a long time used to expect that the government would bail out struggling state-owned enterprises. You know, I mean, I think that has changed. That view has changed somewhat, and there have been defaults of state-owned enterprises. You know, but I think there's still expectations that, you know, Beijing is not going to let very large and systemically important companies fail, because I think that could create ripple effects to other companies that need to raise money in the debt markets. So, you know, I think the general sense is that there will be more defaults, but whether there's going to be a wave of losses or defaults is not, you know, I think the consensus is still that isn't going to be that big shock to the market.
Right. Some people actually point out to this as China just starting to clean house and saying, you know, this is the year where we really have to start really taking more credit discipline seriously, especially on the corporate level and even on the state level for the most part. My question is, you know, is this actually, you know, is these tightening measures or perhaps the pain now going to result in perhaps some, you know, a better and perhaps a more quote-unquote respectable bond space in future years if they enact some of these? Is this seen as something of a necessary reshaping up, at least, of the bond markets in China?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, part of it is the maturing of the market, right? I mean, there can be a market where no bonds default or no companies default. So, you know, I think in a way, you know, China also wants to send a message to companies that you cannot just expect the state to rescue you when you're under trouble. They want more prudent management of companies. So I think the sense is that they will let more companies fail. And investors, you know, likewise have to kind of be careful, you know, or look out for the risks, right, you know, on the landmines, as they might call it. And I think most sophisticated investors are confident that they can, you know, avoid, you know, the losses and focus on the bonds that are, you know, paying actually pretty good returns. Like if you're not, if a company's not going to default, then 10% is a pretty good return on the bond, you know.
Mm. All right. And so finally, Serena, you know, this really dominating a huge part or a significant portion, at least, of the news flow, the finance news flow coming out of Asia and China in particular. I do want to know, as we head into the second half or coming off a very memorable first 6 months of the year, could you tell us what Wall Street Journal might be looking out for in the month of July to kick off the second half? Are there any particular markers that you that are piquing your interest as the Asia finance editor?
Yeah, so, I mean, first of all, of course, we, you know, with at least on the debt default side, we will be looking out for what happens with, like, Evergrande and Huarong, you know, whether they announce any restructurings and how the market reacts to them. And then, you know, July also does kick off the second half of the year. You know, it'll be very interesting to see how the Chinese stock market performs through the end of the year. You know, as you're in the year to date, the main CSI 300 stock index, you know, mm-hmm. which is China's biggest listed companies, has pretty much been flat from the start of the year. I mean, it went up a lot in February and then, you know, kind of came down. And so, you know, we are kind of flat year to date. And I guess there'll be a lot of people watching whether China's economic growth surprises on the upside and helps the markets, or, you know, or could the coronavirus, the Delta variant, you know, cut into reopening plans and economic growth in Asia and the West. And then we're also kind of looking out for on the fintech front. Obviously, Ant Group is very topical. You know, there's more expectations that they will announce, you know, more restructuring or more pieces of their restructuring plan. And then we'll be also looking to see what the other fintech companies in China do. I mean, they have a deadline of November to apply for financial holding company licenses. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to be watching to see what they come up with in the next few months.
All right. It seems there's no rest for anyone tracking Chinese markets as we head into the second half. It's still a market to really look out for in the region. Serena Ng, Wall Street Journal's Asia Finance Editor, thank you so much for joining us today on Money FM 89.3. As always, I wish you and your loved ones continued safety and health during these times. And we look forward to next time we can have you on the show. Meanwhile, do stay safe out in Hong Kong. And we look forward to our next conversation. Cheers.
Thank you.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.